This is Young Man the Prophet podcast. I'm its host, Matthew Espenlaub, and this is my fourth episode. Today, I would like to go in depth on the understanding of who God is and what we say as the Godhead. You know, there are two main versions that are taught today in the Christian world. The majority of it is the idea that God is three divine persons made up of the same substance, which is called the Trinity, which is three in one. The other understanding of who God is he is one spirit who operates in and through three different offices of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. So you have two versions here. You have the Trinity, and you have the version that it is just one God who works in and through three offices. I believe in the latter of the two, of the one God who manifests himself within the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. So you have these two versions that make up the majority of Christianity. You can find these two doctrines of who God is all the way back to the very beginning of time. These are the same two versions that have always been taught about God in one form or fashion or another. All right, so these two versions, the first one, the Trinity, you have Jesus Christ, who is a God-man or a man-God. That is their belief in what they consider who God is. And the second version is you have God himself, who has created a man whom he perfects through suffering, and he then raises him up and makes him equal with himself. I'm not going to go too much in depth on this because I just want to give a understanding of what I believe. So when I do explain the rest of this podcast to you about the Godhead, you'll have an understanding of where I'm coming from. But just to, you know, make a quick point on this, if Jesus Christ is a created being and the Trinity is saying that he is actually God himself, then what they are saying is that creation is God. And so you have to apply that to everything. If what I believe is the truth, that Jesus Christ is not God, but rather a creation that God fills with his inheritance and raises him up equal to it. So if what I'm saying is true, then what the Trinity is saying is that all creation is as God is and always has been, if they're implying that Jesus Christ, who is actually creation, is God. We see this all down through time where you have different rulers coming on the scene. Egypt, it don't matter, all of them, they're all the same, where they consider themselves as being gods in the sight of man. The first real showing of this is you have Cain and Abel. Cain, who believes that he has the right to things, that the works of his hands are what will bring pleasure to God. So he's considering himself equal with God because what he is doing is going to be accepted. Whereas Abel knows that nothing that he does is going to be accepted of God because he knows that God has sacrificed of himself to give him life. And so he displays that in his work by sacrificing of an animal. And it shows and displays that there must be a sacrifice in order for a person to have life. And you see this today in all different religions where you have your own works, which you believe are pleasing unto God. So you put yourself equal with God, or you have the works that come from God himself that empower you to be pleasing unto him. So you have your works and God's works. And these are the two separate teachings and doctrines that you can find out down throughout all history and you can find prevalent today. You know, I am on the latter end of it where nothing that I can do will be pleasing unto God. He has to perform this work in and through me. And when he does perform this work in and through me, then I do work. I do produce a work that is pleasing unto him. But he has to initiate it. And only through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ can he initiate it. This is his plan and purpose, to use now Jesus Christ to bring salvation unto mankind who are his creation. And when they receive the salvation, they also now raise up in new works and are made equal with Almighty God, so that now they can now bring him pleasure and glory that he himself has created. They have him created themselves, and they know this, and they now experience this. If you have questions on this and where I stand, you can always go onto my website, youngmantheprophet.com, and you can read on my about page, my testimony page, you know, also the sermon page. On these pages, I do go in depth more on what I believe and what God has done in my life that gives me this perspective. I'm still working on my preaching page with different sermons that I'm coming up with. One is the Godhead, and the next one I'm going to do on predestination, which I would like to go into next week on my podcast too. So it's youngmantheprophet.com. All right, so you have these two different teachings. You have the Trinity teaching, then you have God is it, and he works in and through three different offices. And this is the stance that I have, what I've experienced, that God is one God. He works in through the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. And this is what I'm about to talk about now. All right, so before the foundation of the world, before God created anything, he was just his spirit. He didn't have any works that he had manifested yet. In his spirit as a whole, he came up with a plan that he would create a body of believers, or a opposite but mirror body to himself, that would worship and glorify him and who he is. This is the plan and purpose of all things, that God himself is creating a body of glory that is going to worship him. This is what is going to bring him pleasure. So his initial thing is, how is he going to do this? In order for him to create this body, he has to take of his own self and make up this other body. God is not this magician. He's not one where he can just poof and something else is created. He has to actually take of his spirit, and that spirit is what now will create works that glorify him. Well, how is he going to do this? You know, if he just takes of himself and creates this other body to worship him, that body is not going to worship him. It's going to worship itself, because that's what his spirit does. His spirit worships itself. He is God. That's it. And so that is what the spirit within all of us does initially. It worships itself. You know, that is the quality of the spirit. So how is he going to create this body so it wouldn't worship itself, but rather would worship him? And this is the first creation that we are living in at this moment. This is the plan of it. This is how he is going to bring this to pass. He, in his mind, created all of this as a sacrifice so that he could perfect this body of glory, so that this body of glory would know and experience that the life that they have is not of themselves, but comes from him. He begins to now create this, where you have Genesis 1:1, where it says God created the heaven and earth. Then all down through time here is the implication of this plan. Everything is coming forward. But the initial thing was before the foundation of the world. To actually create this first creation, God himself had to take of his spirit and bring these things forward. Portions of his spirit now are within creation, holding and maintaining these things so that they exist and we are able to function and have life in this creation while he does perfect in us his salvation. In initial beginning, when he did create everything, he actually took of himself and created this. So that's where you have the very beginning, where it says God created heaven and earth. And goes on to say that the earth was without form and void. Something happened. You know, and this was the first portion of himself. The second portion is when he said, let there be light. He created something else. This is where now he is taking of his first creation, which is, in the beginning God created heaven and earth, and in the earth was without form and void. He is now taking that and bringing order to it. You know, so you have two portions of himself. You have the first part where it fell, and then you have the second part where now that portion is taking what has fallen and bringing order to it. So now God himself does not exist outside of his creation. He is not in the heavens in some mysterious realm or the eternal realm. He is existing and maintaining his creation. You have two parts of him. You have the fallen state and you have the light state. So you have light and darkness. In other words, the beginning is Lucifer and his angels. They fell. And then you have let there be light, the first day of creation, which is the righteous angels were created. So you have two opposing forces now. The first phase of Lucifer and his angels, they were God's sacrifice that he has sacrificed in order to create this fallen state. And now in this fallen state, he creates life, which is the righteous angels. Now, this is the very image, this is the macro of the micro, and the micro is Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, you see that he has to experience death first, and only in that stage of death and burial does he realize, experience that God himself has all power, and that without God himself raising Jesus Christ out of hell, there's no way he would get out. You know, so he had to wait on the command within his spirit to raise out of death. And when that did happen, and that command in his spirit told him to now raise up, he now produced a work that glorified the Father and not himself. You know, he raised out of the works of death, works of darkness. And so this is the micro. The macro is what I was just talking about, that Lucifer and his angels, and they created the works of death, and then you have birth coming out from that, which is let there be light, and that's the righteous angels. They were born into this darkness. You know, that's a constant witness towards them of what it means not to have life. They have life existence in them. And so that's the constant struggle that they had to experience from day one. They were born in this struggle, you know, and that's what keeps them righteous in who they are, seeing that without God doing these things and helping them, there's no way that they would have life. So that's the initial thing where God has taken of his spirit and the fullness of who he is, and he has divided himself into two parts. One is the fallen state, and one is the righteous state. You know, and so he exists now within each individual creation. His spirit makes up all of them. So if you combine all of these spirits together, including the ones that are unrighteous, which is the ones that are in hell at this moment, Lucifer and his angels, all the wicked that are on this earth, and you include that with all the righteous, all of that makes up who God is, the fullness of who he is. We are just one individual spirit within that. Jesus Christ is just one individual spirit within that. What makes him different than all the rest up to his point in time was he was one with God himself, which is one with all of the spiritual realm, one with all the spiritual created beings. He was one with all that. And so being one with all that, that makes him equal with God. And that was what his message was while he was walking here on earth, and that the Jews couldn't stand it at that time was because when he would preach, he was making himself equal with God. You know, this created man was saying, I am equal with God. And they couldn't take it, you know, because how could a man be equal with God? Man is sinners, you know, and they didn't understand and know that his birth into this world was different than their birth. The birth of mankind from the beginning with Adam and Eve were born after the tree of knowledge and good and evil, which was we were born without experiencing the truth of the sacrifice that God has made. You know, where we have to experience who God is by being powerless, being separated from him, and experiencing a resurrection out of that, which is, this is called the tree of life. Jesus Christ was born after the tree of life. He wasn't born according to Adam and Eve's line. He was born outside of that. And so when his birth came into effect, he was actually born in the midst of this chaos, just like the angels were born in the midst of the chaos in the very beginning. Adam and Eve weren't born in the chaos. They were born without having a witness to them at that moment. You know, so they initially fell to become this witness. But Jesus Christ was born in the midst of the chaos. And so he was constantly buffeted, you know, by what it means to not have life and what it means to have life. What it means to not have life was what those around him were speaking of and witnessing to at that moment because they were in sin. But he was what it means to have life because he was connected with the spiritual realm. He always did those things which was pleasing unto the Father. And so he always had a communication. Sin didn't hinder his communication with God because it wasn't there. He didn't have sin. He wasn't born according to the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He was born according to the tree of life. And so every single work that he produced while he walked here on this earth was produced because he was empowered by the Father to produce these works. You know, and that's the difference. You know, he was constantly being empowered from day one to produce works that please God. Now, here is the hidden part to it, where when the relationship that Jesus Christ has with the Father is not the Father himself is sitting on some throne. The Father himself is existing in all creation, like I said, within both good and evil. He is bringing all these things to pass in and through individual spirits. So there is not one person sitting on that throne till Jesus Christ rose from the dead. So who is ruling in the spiritual realm? It is the righteous angels. There's seven mighty ones that stand before the throne, and not one of them have ever actually sit on the throne. They all collectively, all seven of them, have the fullness of who God is and what his plan is, but they don't have it as individuals. They have to combine it together, and some operate at certain times, whereas others operate and bring forth God's plan. That is what Jesus Christ inherited. He inherited the seven eyes, the seven lamps, the seven angels. This is what he inherited. You know, now when he inherited this upon raising from the dead, he sat down as God. This was the first time this has ever happened. You know, and so now you have this great king who has the fullness of God and the strength of who God is and what he has been doing from day one throughout all of creation. He knows the plan and action of what God the Father wants done, and now he has been implicating it in and through creation for the past 2,000 years. So you have the Father, which is all of the creation, everything. He makes up every single spirit created. He's not outside of this creation. He is within it. That is why it says in the book of Acts that God has his life and moves and breathes within us, you know, because it is him that's doing it. You know, our spirit within us comes from him. It is life. It gives us our existence. You know, so that the fullness of who God is makes up all of creation. He has broken it down into the parts that is the sacrifice part, where he's sacrificing of himself so that he can perfect this new creation, because that's what he's really after. He's after this glorified body. It's called the second creation. It's not the first creation. It's the second creation. That's what he's really after. But he had to create the sacrifice first in order to perfect this second creation. So you have the Father, which is the fullness of who he is. He exists within creation itself. You have the righteous angels that have been ruling on in the heavens since let there be light. It has been them all along. That's why you have the Old Testament filled with angels coming on the scene. Now when Jesus Christ was created and came on the scene, the end of creation, when he experienced his powerlessness in hell and he was empowered by the angels to raise up from the dead, he was given inheritance over all things. Now all angels, all principalities are subjected to him. All creation is. And so now you have the Father, you have the Son. So who's the Holy Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit is none other than the angels. They make up his Holy Spirit, though we don't recognize them as angels because angels are not to be worshipped. Almighty God is to be worshipped. Jesus Christ, who is filled with Almighty God, the fullness of him, is to be worshipped, not the angels. And that's why it says in the book of John, chapter 14, 15, 16, when Jesus Christ does talk about giving of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit won't speak of itself, but whatever it receives from Jesus Christ, that it shall give unto us. For it is of Jesus Christ that the Holy Spirit has its understanding of things. You know, also you can see these examples in the book of Revelation. Very first book of Revelation, it gives us a understanding of how God works. God, who has given unto Jesus Christ this plan of redemption, now signifies it by his angel unto his servant John. So you see the order. You see Almighty God giving this inheritance to Jesus Christ, and it is in and through the Father's angels that Jesus Christ now ministers unto us this inheritance and this salvation. You know, the angels control everything, but it is Jesus Christ now who has the reins to them. You can see in the book of Revelation where John two times bows down to the angel that's showing him things, and the angel itself says, "See that you do that not, but worship Jesus Christ." You know, and that is why we are not to worship the angels. You have this idea that the angels and all these things that you are to worship these things, they are of our brothers too. We are to collectively see that all of this, all the angels, all of us as bride members of sons of God, all of creation belong to Jesus Christ. And it is this that we ourselves are to inherit too. For us to become equal with Jesus Christ, we are to become equal with all of these, which is the angels, which is everyone else of the Old Testament and of the New Testament, and those who are to be born into the millennium. This is our inheritance too. To inherit this is to inherit God, because this is who God is and what makes up who he is, because he has created all these individuals from his spirit. So now we see God working in and through three offices. You have the Father, who is the full, complete creation itself, who makes up all of creation, all created beings, physical realm, spiritual realm, all of it. This is the Father. And now you see him also working in and through Jesus Christ, which is a separate office, but it is still one with him. You know, he now is performing a redemption through Jesus Christ. You know, and so this is what Jesus Christ is doing. He is sitting on the throne, being empowered by the Father to perform these things and to bring forth the redemption of all things. And then you have the final part, which is the Holy Spirit. It is God's mode of operation, how he is actually to perform these things in redemption by empowering Jesus Christ to command these angels to go forward and actually do the work. A real small type of this would be Adam and Eve. You know, you have, before Eve was created, God put Adam himself into a deep sleep. Adam was in this strange, dark sleep while God took out of his side Eve. You know, and this goes to show us, you know, an image of God himself, that he has put himself into a deep sleep, this sacrifice part of creation, so that he could create his second creation, his Eve, which is through the sacrifice of this first creation. So this is a small understanding of who God is and his three offices and what he's doing in and through creation. You know, and there's another part to it at the very end of creation where he is going to wake up. You know, he's partially going to wake up in and through the resurrection of the bride, but at the very end of all time is when, after everything is done and he has perfected his bride, then he is going to wake up out of the sacrifice that he has performed. You know, and that is the real interesting part that at some point I will get into too. All right, so this was my version of what I believe in being Almighty God and him fulfilling three different offices. If you want to have a contact with me and you want to have more understanding of where I'm coming from, you can visit my website at youngmantheprophet.com, and you can email me there too on contact page. And I would absolutely love to go over anything that you have questions on. So this is the end of this podcast for today. Next time, I do believe I'm going to try to do about predestination, which is a very hot topic, to give an understanding of who God is and what he actually controls. Is it him that's in control, or is it his creation that's in control? So this is what I'm going to go on to next week, predestination. So this is Young Man the Prophet podcast. Matthew Espinlove, I'm going to sign off today, and may the Lord Jesus Christ bless you in hearing my voice, and may he empower the bride of Christ and elect.